Are you ready, Alabama?
Hello? Who's there? What's going on?
It's time to enter the doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
How you doing?
It's time for the highly sought after, fabulous final hour of the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy I ever met.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
Time to talk some NFL football on a Football Friday. Yeah, see? I think Brent Sobolewski should have his own special football music. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe that could be the Brent Sobolewski theme song. And he joins us now on the Woody Anderson Ford VIP Hotline. Sobo, welcome back. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. Are we going to talk NFL football? Or are we going to discuss guys standing around at pro days throwing the ball to people who aren't even covered?
So you don't even care about that, right? I mean, you don't even care how he threw the ball in the rain and he told him, no, let's not go in the rain. Let's not go inside. We'll stay out here in the rain because, you know, I'm a man. Whatever.
Well, the irony is that I just finished and sent in a story for those guys, the winners and losers so far from pro days. But, you know, that's a little bit of an editorial work. When it comes down to pro days, we overblow them to a degree. There's things you can look at within them that occur that could be pertinent to the evaluation, but it's not something that's going to sway you one way or the other when it comes to the overall evaluation. It's confirmation. That's what you're looking for at this point in the process.
Yeah. Well, and again, those meetings are so important as well. And in this particular case, I mean, they're going to have them in for a workout too. I mean, what's the difference? I mean, a pro day is one thing, but when you bring them in for a private workout, now you're going to put them in your scenarios and under stress and things like that. And I would think that those private workouts, which are not televised, mean a hell of a lot more than a pro day that is set up by his own personal, coach.
Yeah, but we can't go wild about those because we're not privy to that information.
Right.
But you're right, Tom. You're absolutely right. When it comes down to it, especially the quarterback position, when you put them through their paces through your workout, not a workout set up by Jordan Palmer, does a wonderful job as a quarterback coach, or any other of the gurus out there who set up the throwing sessions and they know exactly what they're going to go through. Once you put them through the ringer a little bit in your offensive system, teaching them the verbiage, making them translate it to the field, doing the type of throws you're going to ask of them, that's when you really get to the nitty-gritty of understanding how they're going to translate for you. And I did mention how the nuances play a factor. And let me give you one example, at least to me. When I watched the Sam Darnold, any throw he made didn't really matter to me. But his attitude throughout the entire process, to me, signaled a lot. First of all, he's nicknamed Flatline by his mother and father, so that gives you an idea of how laid back he is. Second of all, when that rain came, he looked forward to it, and you didn't see his demeanor change whatsoever. He went out, he did his job, and he did it well. And on the exact opposite point, when we watched Josh Allen today, who threw very well, he ripped it, we expected it to, huge arm. But when he missed a few throws, you could read his face, you could see his demeanor change. And these are things that scouts are looking at beyond just the typical, well, did he complete the pass or not?
Apparently Darnold was, they had told Darnold that they were going inside, they were going to flip-flop things and go inside. And he said, why? And they said, because rain's coming. And he said, no, I want to stay here and throw in a rain. I'm trying to get to Cleveland. And, and I had another guy verify, I read that story, and then we had Anthony Heron on in the last hour, or in the first hour of the show, and he was out there, and he verified that Sam Darnold refused to go inside and wanted to throw in the ring.
you got to love that mentality, especially if you're Cleveland sitting at number one. It's not necessarily that it makes him the AFC North quarterback, you know, the big, burly gunslinger. What you're looking for is that he wanted to compete. He wanted to show he was the best. That's the mentality that you're looking for, especially for an organization like Cleveland that's had so many losses in the last few seasons. You want that guy to come in and change the culture within your locker room, the guy that's willing to take on the extra responsibilities and face these things. So to me, those are important. That right there is what makes a pro day important, not necessarily how he performed in the rain, but the fact that he was willing to continue to throw in the rain when he had the option not to do so, to take the more difficult path instead of getting out easy.
Now, I have a lot of respect for Vegas and the lines makers and the odds makers. I think that they have as good a feel as anybody does for what is going on out there. I don't know if you saw this story, but apparently the Cleveland Browns, who 3 weeks ago were 100-1 to win the Super Bowl or to go to Super Bowl, are now 66-1. They've made the biggest jump of any team during the free agency with the trading for Tyrod Taylor and Jarvis Landry and Demarius Randall and the signing of Carlos Hyde and so on and Chris Hubbard. Is that seem crazy? I mean at Vegas, without even having a draft yet, Vegas has kind of jumped on them. They're ahead of teams like the Bengals and the Jets. And you would think they wouldn't be ahead of anybody at being an 0-16 team. But then you hear that, you know, in 10 of those 16 games, they were within a score or tied in the fourth quarter. You just wonder whether or not this is fool's gold or Vegas is onto something.
Well, when you look at it, on paper, Cleveland is greatly improved. And when you have Tyrod Taylor, who may not be the perfect quarterback, but he did help lead the Buffalo Bills to the playoffs last year. He brings different dynamics to the offense, not only as a passer who doesn't turn over the ball, but as a runner as well. You bring in Jarvis Landry, a legitimate slot receiver, the best in the NFL at that position, with 400 reception in his first four seasons, NFL record. You improve there. You're getting Josh Gordon back. If he's fully committed, that's the top three wide receiver in the NFL. You've improved defensively by completely overhauling your secondary to now fit into Greg Williams' system. By the way, they signed E.J. Gaines today, so now they have another starting cornerback that they just brought in. What it comes down to is two factors, in my opinion. How do they gel as a team? How does that locker room come together? And how does Hugh Jackson handle all of this? Because, quite frankly, while we give a lot of guff to Sauce Brown, he helped place them in this position, and he was not the entire problem in Cleveland. Hugh Jackson was very much at fault for a 1-31 record the last two seasons. How does he adjust? I think it's a positive, or at least a feather in his cap, that he decided to give up play calling duties and has Todd Haley coming in to do so. So we'll see how all this comes together. It's a lot of roster turnover, but it's been into the positive side of things because you are improving your overall roster. And that's even to your point, Tom, before we even get to the NFL draft, where you're going to add two top five picks, two top five second-round picks, a third second-round pick, and then a few more down the road. So this is a team who should look drastically different. And you can say, by looking on paper, again, we won't know until this all comes together, that they look as good, if not better, than the Bengals and the Ravens and the AFC North.
And then the wild card is Josh Allen, who a lot of mock draft guys think Cleveland likes the most, that John Dorsey likes the most. He doesn't turn the ball over. We just don't have, a good body of work there because of where he played. But he didn't play at South Dakota State, and that's where Carson Wentz came from. So, you know, there's something there. Has he had his pro day yet? And where are you at on Allen in the mix with Rosen and Darnold and even Baker Mayfield? Because I sometimes get excited about Baker Mayfield, who I think they could get in the four hole if they wanted to do something else at the one hole.
Well, first of all, let me state this unequivocally. If you are a team like Cleveland that hasn't had a franchise quarterback in 30 years and you're sitting at the number one overall pick, take your preferred quarterback choice and be done with it. You can build around them. I'm not messing around with that situation. I'm getting my favorite
guy. Which one? They're all so close. Which one? I mean, I can't.
Well, we say that, Tom. We say they're close. But you know for a fact that NFL teams don't look at it that way. They're looking at their situation. They have more information than we're privy to. These interview processes are so important because this is where they separate. You find out the personality. You find out who they are. You find out how they can fit in your locker room. And that's generally where you see that separation. So while we state that on the outside, it's very rarely the case among teams. So if you have a preferred quarterback, just take them. It's simple. And when it comes to Josh Allen, he may be the guy. And he did have his pro day earlier today. I'm not sure if it was ongoing when you originally came on the air this afternoon or not. And he threw well. He has a huge arm. He has, and we expected him to rip it. He did. He threw 75, 80-yard bombs at the end of the practice session. The ball exploded out of his hands, and it reminds me of Matthew Stafford when he came out of Georgia with the way that it just zips through the air with such ease. And when you look at it, we knew all that, though. We knew exactly what he was going to be able to do because it's set up for him to excel because he's so freakishly athletic with such a strong arm. Does that make him the number one overall pick? Well, that's where we have concerns. And the small things I looked at today during the pro day is whether how his footwork is now married with his upper body mechanics. He was very poor, really driving through his passes, and one of the reasons it hurt his overall accuracy. It's better. Can he be consistently better when he's facing a pass rush? That's what we don't know. That's the unknown element. Because when you're that big and that strong and have that type of arm, you need to be consistent with your technique or passes will just simply get away from you. We saw that. We've seen that throughout the entirety of Cam Newton's career. And I think Josh Allen could be on a similar path, maybe not an MVP caliber, but just where he struggles with mechanics at times and it forces him to miss easy throws. So when I look at it, he's definitely in the conversation. John Dorsey was there. Cleveland Browns owner Jimmy Haslam was there. Hugh Jackson was there. They're interested in Josh Allen. Is it more than Sam Darnold? We don't know yet.
Does Jimmy really need to be there? I mean, I know he wants to go there. He wants to hang around with jocks and all that kind of stuff. But really, does he, you know, I mean, he's not going to have any input on that, I would hope, right? I mean, at this point in time, unless some bum tells him to draft Johnny Manziel, I mean, do we really need Jimmy Haslam's input on this?
Well, I heard Jimmy Manziel's working out again, Johnny Manziel's working out again, and teams were watching. You know, that was overblown, of course. But to a degree, yes, your owner is a big part of major franchise and organizational decisions, and that's especially true at the quarterback position. And furthermore, we know Jimmy Haslam likes to be involved. There's a reason why that specific organization is set up in a way to where I call it the boardroom approach, where all the heads of the departments report directly to the ownership group. Mm-hmm. Because Haslam, to an extent, wants to be Jerry Jones. Maybe not as controlling and maybe not to as out front as Jerry is, but he wants to be a part of it. He wants to be part of football operations in general. So he's getting involved, and he will be involved. Maybe he might not push the button like he did with Manziel a few years back, but it's definitely something where he wants to see where his investment is going.
Yeah, Brent Sobolewski with us talking some NFL here. NFL insider for the Bleacher Report, especially specializing in the draft. Does the JPP trade from the Giants, does that send a signal to you that now Bradley Chubb is the guy, their guy in that two-hole that they got to go in that direction? Or do you see them looking QB, or is Saquon Barkley in play there as well?
Well, I believe to open the door for Bradley Chubb, one thing we have to take into consideration is with James Bechner coming in as the defensive coordinator, he likes to employ a 3-4 base defense. That's not exactly the best fit for Chubb. Now, the obvious argument against that is nickel's technically the base defense in all NFL, in the entire NFL, and there'll be a lot of four-man fronts and sub-packages along the way. But he brings them into play, because otherwise, if you look at that situation, when a New York Jets come calling and you're not willing to move out of the number two hole, the first thought is you are in love with one of these quarterbacks, and it's hard to work around a situation. And I personally believe it would be a mistake if the Giants don't seriously consider a quarterback with that number two spot. You're an organization that operates on a certain standard. You don't expect to be in the selecting in the top five again for quite some time. As a matter of fact, the last time you selected in the top five was 2004 when you selected Philip Rivers and then flipped him for Eli Manning. So it gives you an idea of the way they operate and how they want to move forward. So I believe that's the quarterback's the best decision for them, but I wouldn't rule out Chubb simply because of where they are rebuilding and his positional value. How much does Dave Gettleman actually like him over potentially one of these quarterbacks?
Yeah. Then from the running back standpoint, I mean, we know the stories about how Saquon Barkley is a huge Jets fan. His father's a huge Jets fan. He's not going to the Jets. They got to take a quarterback. But with these running backs, is the difference, I don't know where he'll go, But is the difference between Saquon Barkley and Darius Geis and Sony Michel and, you know, the kid out of the Jones kid out of USC and Nick Chubb, is it that dramatic that you would take a Saquon Barkley in the first six picks of the draft as opposed to taking Darius Geis at the top of the second round?
No, I do not believe so. And that's coming from someone that has Saquon Barkley as the number two overall prospect in this year's class. And I love Quentin Nelson, the guard from Notre Dame, but that's another conversation. When you look at Barkley, he's everything you want in a modern running back. There's no denying it. But to your point, this is a stacked running back class. If you pass on Barkley, you're more than likely going to get a starting caliber running back in the second or third round. So while we can point towards the Leonard Fournette situation with Jacksonville last year, and that he came in, he really provided an identity for that Jacksonville Jaguars offense. It wasn't Fournette who walked away with the Offensive Rookie of the Year. It was Alvin Kamara, who was in the third round. And the other running back that competed for that title was Kareem Hunt, who was selected in the third round. This year's draft class at running back is deeper overall. I'm not saying that you're going to have a running back that produces to that same level, but the overall talent pool is better. And it gives you an idea that potentially Saquon Barkley could be in a mini free fall on draft day. Mm. Maybe he's not a top five pick. Maybe he goes to Indianapolis at six or Tampa Bay at seven or slide down a little further than that. I think that's very well within the realm of possibility that even though we can look at him as a consensus top overall talent, position value is going to rule because all these teams are jockeying to move up to get these quarterbacks, and it's pushing down other very talented prospects.
Are we done seeing big moves? Can the Buffalo Bills still move up into the top five? Do you predict any more big moves here before this thing goes live in a few weeks?
Well, the two spots to look for right now are the Giants. It comes down to how much they love the quarterback. There's been reports they absolutely love Sam Darnold, and we don't know exactly where Cleveland stands, if it's Darnold or Allen. So when we look at it, if Darnold comes off the board before the Jets, that's a potential slot for the Bills to jump up. Now, if that doesn't occur and the Giants stay in the number two spot, I would consider, or at least John Dorsey would consider, at number four moving down. And I know that may seem like sacrilege when Cleveland, after doing it so often in the last couple of years, but with those quarterbacks coming off the board potentially so early in the process, as I stated, it's going to drive down elite talent. And if you don't move down too far, you could be in position to still get a difference maker in a roster that still needs them, even though they've upgraded this past month. So I would look at the number two hole and the fourth overall pick as those spots where you can see movement, because that's where, one, the Giants are ahead of the Jets, and we know the Jets are taking quarterbacks, and the Browns at number four are ahead of the Broncos, and that's another spot, a hot spot for a quarterback. So it's all about how these signal callers come off the board with teams like the Bills, Dolphins, Cardinals looking to possibly move up.
Everybody's got the Titans taking a linebacker, it seems like. Are you in that same camp? Do you have them taking one of these guys, Van Der Esch, or one of these other linebackers that could be available when it comes around to them, including possibly the kid out of Alabama?
Well, what's difficult with Tennessee is their biggest need, in my opinion, is continuing to build around their skill positions. And they need to add more other than just Corey Davis. But when you look at this year's wide receiver class, it's very weak, at least in the first round range, with maybe Calvin Ridley. You could potentially argue Cortland Sutton or Calvin Ridley, Cortland Sutton, Christian Kirk. So if Ridley's off the board, since he's the most likely first-round pick, then you just have to look towards a defensive end. It's not necessarily an inside linebacker. They need guys that can create pressure off the edge. When I did my mock draft earlier this week, I did have a linebacker, but it wasn't Evans and it wasn't Van Der Esch. I was looking towards Lorenzo Carter from Georgia, 6'6", 250 pounds, runs a 4.64, the explosive upfield edge player. And to me, that's more important in that scheme to start building for life beyond Brian Arakpo and Derek Morgan. You need those guys that can be more flexible, that can be better working in space, and can also get out to quarterback, and that's what I see in Carter.
Yeah. All right. Do you love what ESPN is doing, ESPN2, with putting College Game Day on the draft and having a college twist to it? Because this is the perfect intersection between the college game and the NFL game. And, what do you think about that? I think I might watch that coverage more than I'm going to watch the regular coverage.
well, I'm going to be honest with you. One of my favorite parts of the NFL draft is, I mean, other for nostalgia reasons, other growing up watching Mel Kiper, I really loved the implementation of bringing college coaches into the telecast. David Shaw is wonderful each and every year. And then they usually have a rotation of two or three other college coaches they bring out. The insight that they provide, the understanding of the collegiate game, is invaluable to the overall production value. And so to me, if you do have more of that collegiate slant on it, it can give you better overall information than sometimes we receive. And I'm not trying to knock Mel Kiper or Mike Mayock. You know, they do what they do, and they do it very well. It's just giving you another point of view to better understand these prospects, to understand this process. And, you know, we've reached a point where fans want to understand more than just what we see on TV. They want to know what these young men go through. They want to understand how grueling it can be at times, to be quite honest with you. And so more information, the better, in any way that we can cover this event.
Jets made a huge offer to Ndamukong Suh. Titans are in on Ndamukong Suh. Is it all about the money, or where do you think that dude goes?
Well, it was all supposed to be about the money, and he even said so initially, but he has yet to set up a visit with the Jets. And the real team to look at right now is the Rams, because they have that ringer a little bit, with their strength coach being the same strength coach that Ndamukong Suh worked with in Detroit and early in Miami. So he has a comfort level there. So I would look at the Rams still being a favorite, as long as they can come close to what the Jets offer.
Always a pleasure, Brent Sobolewski. Check him out, Bleacher Report's got a new mock out there as well. Brent, I appreciate you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Tom. Talk to you next week.
Let's grab a break. When we come back, we shift gears to the SEC, and we get caught up on some of the things going on around the league in terms of SEC spring ball, and we're going to do it next with Josh Ward right here on 730-1039. Yep.
Sports Radio. The Ump. Because we care.
If you ever want to buy a house or a car, you're going to want to know your credit score. If there's a mistake on your credit report, you could pay more in interest rates and fees than you have to. Where can you go online to quickly get your credit score and credit report for free? CreditKarma.com/radio. Check it whenever you like. It's free and there's no catch. Don't get an unwanted surprise about your credit score. Go to creditkarma.com/radio. That's creditkarma.com/radio.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Attention! If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications such as chronic pain, infection, wound reopening, mesh migration, bowel obstruction, need revision surgery, or other complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Hernia repair surgery is common and requires a mesh product to be implanted inside your body. In May of 2016, the manufacturer of a popular hernia mesh product issued a mandatory global recall due to product defects. If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now at 800-360-4612. Our experienced attorneys will fight to get you the compensation you deserve. You pay nothing unless we get a recovery in your favor. Time is limited to file a claim, so call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now. 800-360-4612. Operators are standing by 24/7. Call 800-360-4612. That's 800-360-4612.
Napa Know How.
Keeping it simple is usually a good thing. And when it comes to rewards programs, keeping it simple is always a good thing. That's why we made the Napa Rewards program effortless. All you need is your phone number to start saving on the parts and tools you need. Then we automatically give you $5 off your next purchase for every $100 you spend. So start saving today with Napa Rewards. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Weather is sponsored by Sprint. Switch to Sprint and get the best price for unlimited. Sprint works for me. Visit a Sprint store today.
Compared to national carrier, unlimited rates features differ.
A partly sunny sky today, the high in the mid-60s at 65. Tonight, increasingly cloudy with a low at 51. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers by afternoon, the high 68. And Sunday, mostly cloudy with a chance of widely scattered showers, the high at 70. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
No time to get on the phone? Tweet the big dog at Tom Abraham Show. Here's Tom Abraham.
Welcome back, Tom Abraham Show. Waiting on the big dog. He will be back here just momentarily. Not sure exactly where he ran off to, but he will be back with us in just a second. Last night, if you guys were paying any attention, the Sweet 16 started. It will finish tonight, but it was finished last night for the SEC. Both SEC schools went down on the first night of the Sweet 16. Well, if it was tonight, they would have went down. Either way, they're done. The SEC is officially out of this thing. There was a little hope left, and we're going to discuss what happened. What went wrong? Was there really a chance for either of these guys? We're going to do that next with our guy Josh Ward and the Big Dog. Big Dog, you can take it away.
Yeah, Josh Ward joins us now on Woody Anderson Ford VIP Hotline. Josh, welcome in. How are you, man?
Hey, doing well. Great to be with you.
So that's it. It's over for the SEC, as T-Mac said, and it just ends with a thud. How does this, you know, it's a tournament. You know what I mean? It's a tournament, but it's still, this is how we determine a national champion. So does this put a damper on this whole SEC season that sent eight teams to this tournament?
Well, it's disappointing for the SEC, no doubt. You get eight teams into the tournament. You hope to have somebody alive by the time you get to the Elite Eight, or the Final Four. You want to win a championship, you need somebody to get there. It's also disappointing that two of your SEC teams were in the South, where it turns out they actually had a really comfortable route to try to get to the Final Four. Talking about Kentucky and Tennessee and the teams that they played or would have played, but they went down. And that's kind of the story for a lot of these teams in the tournament. But also during the regular season, when we talked about the SEC, one, I'd say the biggest reason that we said that basketball is better is because of the depth of the conference. We didn't spend too much time talking about the elite teams in the SEC, and that was probably backed up here in the NCAA tournament. And a bounce goes one way or the other, well, Tennessee or Kentucky could still be alive, and it didn't work out that way. So I think top to bottom, everything that we said, that the SEC is better in basketball, was absolutely true. But also our question of whether there really was an elite team to compete nationally, maybe that was answered as well.
Well, and is there any reason not to believe, though, that next year could be even better? I mean, that next year there could be three SEC teams in the, you know, in the Elite Eight, you know, type of deal, or in at least the Sweet 16. I mean, because you look at Alabama's just going to lose to one guy. Tennessee's going to be very solid. You know what, you know, Kentucky, who the hell knows? And they just bring in a whole new crop of blue chippers. Maybe John Calipari has to look at that system that he's using there. Kermit Davis is now at Ole Miss. Auburn is going to be better with their personnel next year, assuming there's nothing, everything else is now quieted down. I mean, really, when you look at it, it feels like this might just be the beginning of a run for this league.
I think the SEC is still in really good shape. And you're right, we don't know everything for next year. We don't know, is there some kind of unexpected coaching move? What does happen with Bruce Pearl is still a question there. But you think about the league that it was this year, why was the league better? Well, I would say because of coaching and the development that programs have undergone over the coaching changes they made the last few years. Well, now the SEC adds Kermit Davis at Ole Miss and Tom Crean at Georgia. The league's better, I would argue, from a coaching standpoint. Not that Andy Kennedy was bad or even Mark Fox. I think he was a solid coach, but Tom Crean's much more accomplished in his career than what Mark Fox has done. I think Kermit Davis is really good, so he can at least keep Ole Miss stable as a basketball program. And then Ben Hallen probably tries to take Mississippi State to a higher level. Same with Tennessee. You're right, with so many guys coming back, Alabama will have even higher expectations next year. So let's see how Arkansas does. There's going to be ups and downs with multiple programs, of course. But, yeah, I think the SEC has a chance to be better at the top and maintain consistency throughout the league. And then can LSU take a step forward with Will Wade? A lot of questions asked, but overall, yeah, I think the SEC will be as good or better next year.
I don't know if you heard this or not, but did you hear that Tua Tagovailoa hurt his hand? I may not have made the news. I don't know if it got out there at all, but, yeah, he hurt his – he sprained his thumb, which means he broke his index finger, one of those two things, but it appears to be a broken index finger, even though he was at practice yesterday. Did that make it? Did that news get all the way up there or not?
Well, this is the first I've heard of it in the last 15 minutes. Yeah, no, yeah, you know, if something like that happens – first of all, Alabama headlines always make their way to Knoxville, and especially recently with Butch Jones being there. Tennessee hired its head coach from Alabama, by the way. But the quarterback race at Alabama, between Hurts and Tua, with Tua being the favorite to win it. And now a lot of people are asking, what can that offense be with him? It does raise some eyebrows when he gets injured on the very first day. And you may also be aware that a lot of Tennessee fans have said that Butch Jones is to blame because of the injuries that occurred at Tennessee the last couple of years.
Yeah, no
doubt. Taking the bad juju down to Tuscaloosa.
There's no doubt he took that bad juju down to Tuscaloosa. And, you know, the other part about it is, I don't know if you heard what his role is. They finally figured it out.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
The guy's an intern.
Yeah, right. Well, we figured out what his job is. He's the one, and he's responsible for the orange slices after practice, I think. That's what he's doing right now. I'm not sure.
We're throwing them away in the trash can when the players are done with the peeling.
Well, the trash can wouldn't come. I mean, I saw it. I mean, okay. I don't know if you saw the genius site, Intern Butch, just a great follow on Twitter. I'm sure he's got more followers than I do by now. But, yeah, according to the trash can had an opportunity to interview with Butch and decided to stay there with Jeremy. So Jeremy kept the trash can, apparently.
Yeah, I can assure you there is nothing from the previous era in terms of, I don't think at least, slogans, approach, whatever. Jeremy Pruitt's going to go a different way than the previous regime, which happens at every school, by the way. That's just how it is. You're going to try to come in and do your own thing. But to this point, Jeremy Pruitt and Butch Jones seem to be quite different in a lot of ways.
You know, we all knew that there was so much going on up there with John Curry and the coaching search, and now we just see how just completely dysfunctional it did become. And I'm sure that Jeremy Pruitt had a pretty good idea of, you know, how many different guys that they had talked to. But I wonder if it impacts him at all, maybe motivates him to see that, you know, this isn't like one of those deals where, well, he wasn't our top choice. He wasn't like the eighth choice. You know what I mean? It was that they went a long way down the list. And then, of course, everybody's going to say this is the guy we wanted all along.
Yeah, not only was Jeremy Pruitt at the beginning not the choice, he wasn't an option. He wasn't somebody that was on the radar for Tennessee. And everything very much changed after the athletic director switch. But what was going on at Tennessee was a very tough sell for coaches with what happened with Greg Schiano, then going after a bunch of coaches, being turned down by some, maybe pulling out with the interest that Tennessee was showing in others, and then the John Curry to Philip Fulmer switch. That changed everything. And Tennessee also knew that it was probably going to have to go spend a little bit more than it typically would. It's a coaching staff that the assistants to join Jeremy Pruitt were able to ask for a lot of money, and they got it. And at the end of this storyline, what matters is Jeremy Pruitt win or not, but it's going to take some time. It's not going to happen immediately. And Tennessee's program, it still has a lot to prove to show that the dysfunction is gone and that it can be a winning football program and an overall winning athletic department. Basketball helped. The fact that basketball had some success, that helped with maybe the image of UT. But it's still, at the end of the day, is going to always come back to football. And it's going to take a while for Tennessee to be able to prove that the issues that have been there for a long time and the issues that resurfaced here in the last 24 hours or so, that those are behind Tennessee. Because a lot of people believe that it's just a matter of when, not if, something else weird will happen in Knoxville.
Doesn't it almost add more pressure, though, to Jeremy Pruitt? Because now it's like if it doesn't get going quickly, they're going to be like, well, why didn't we get that? We could have had this guy. We could have had that guy. You know, why, you know, we should have done the Schiano thing. You see, you guys ruined it. You know, it could have been that guy. And the one that is the most intriguing really is the Mullen thing. I mean, Mullen texting Curry, you know, just talk to Peyton. I'll see you tomorrow. And then going to Gainesville and signing a contract there? I mean, that adds a lot of juice to the Florida-Tennessee thing, but that's his, you know, I think that's the newsiest part of all of that stuff that I read.
Yeah, there's a lot of what-if part of this story. You know, what if Chip Kelly wants to go to Florida, not UCLA? Or what if UCLA has a big year and they don't have an opening? Jim Moore Jr. is still their coach, and Chip Kelly goes to Florida, so Dan Mullen can't go there. Scott Frost says, I don't know if I want to go to Nebraska and try to fix my alma mater. I have a better chance to win at Florida than Dan Mullen, the coach. There are a number of those situations, but Tennessee caught some bad luck that UCLA, Nebraska, with its former national championship-winning quarterback, was the up-and-coming coach. The timing just didn't really work out for Tennessee, and it, you know, it still put itself in the position that it did. But, yeah, Dan Mullen could have very easily been Tennessee's football coach, and maybe at one point Dan Mullen thought he would be Tennessee's coach, but that didn't happen. And if Dan Mullen's Tennessee's coach, then John Curry's Tennessee's athletic director, and everything that happened, all the embarrassment that Tennessee went through, all the money that it spent, that's to me just been pushed to the side, and barely anybody even seems to notice or care that for 8 months of work, Tennessee paid John Curry $3.1 million. To me, that's not the most fiscally responsible handling of the situation by Tennessee and the new chancellor, Beverly Davenport. I mean, think about it. In her first year, she spent $3 million on an athletic director that they had to fire. But that's Tennessee, and you're so used to seeing everything in Tennessee that it barely even gets any notice.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Around the league, of course, you had one of the stories that were popping about at Alabama was the fact that Damian Harris did come back, and it was interesting to see what he said. And when you look at the rankings of running backs in the draft, you wonder where he would have fit. He says he came back because he just loves the place and he just wants one more year, a chance to win a third national championship and be the first Alabama running back to have three 1,000-yard seasons. He's always been, at the beginning of the year, the guy that is considered to be the second guy. Now there's Najee Harris there. But then he ends up outperforming, you know, whoever it was. Last year it was all about Bo Scarborough, but it ended up being Damian Harris that was better. But when you look at the backs in the draft, Darius Geis, where Nick Chubb is viewed and where Sony Michel is viewed and some of the other SEC backs, John Kelly is ranked higher than Bo Scarborough. You wonder from a business decision whether or not for Damian Harris that made a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think I've said with running backs, if you can go, I would say go because of the lifespan that you have, the way that your position is valued in the NFL. While money's there to be made, I say make it because it's not going to be there very long and you're not going to be able to make as much as other positions. But also, in Damian Harris's case, and with anybody else, I would say do what you want to do. If you want to return to college, if you want to experience that, because when you give it up, it's gone. You don't get it back, at least from that standpoint, being a student athlete. Then if that's what you want to do, do it. And for Damian Harris, let's say he wins another championship at Alabama. Well, that elevates his status in Tuscaloosa forever. That elevates how he's remembered and, you know, what opportunities could be there. And if he has a good year and he stays healthy, he's still going to get to play in the NFL. But I would go if I were in his position. I would take that opportunity because you only have so many years that you can play football, especially at that position, and certainly only so many years where you can make money doing it. But if he really values the chance to be in college and play at Alabama, well, Alabama's going to always value that as well, and that's worth something too.
Yeah. All right. Always good stuff, Josh. I appreciate you, and we'll look forward to talking again.
Hey, you got it. Thanks a lot, Tom.
All right. Thank you. Josh Ward, SEC insider, always strong. All right, we're going to get a break. We'll come back. We have a final segment of the day. If you missed it earlier, we do have a Friday trifecta out there, but we will get that to you when we return. So get ready to jump on board. I'm looking for your final four, and I'm looking for a car. And you're going to get in a drawing for the entire weekend at Talladega. Okay? I need a final four, and I need a car at Martinsville. So if you want in, 866-485-9888. 6-7 will get you in. It's the Tom Abraham Show. Back with more after this on 730 1039. Yep.
Sports Radio 730 1039. The Ump. The Ump. Here's what you'll hear tonight on The Ump.
It's day two of the Sweet 16. That's right, more thrilling, gripping, fantastic college basketball. Cover starts at 5 p.m. all right here on The Ump.
The Tennessee Valley Golf Card is back and on sale March 26th. This year's card features a round of golf, including a card at 7 area courses and an hour session at an indoor golf simulator. Visit Gunner's Landing, Links at Redstone, Southern Gales, and Point Mallard. Enjoy a day out at these courses and more, including Pine Hill Country Club, Eagle's Nest, and Links at Briarmead. A $311 value for just $139. And also use it to perfect your swing at X Golf Huntsville. Log on to umpsports.com.
Walgreens has good news for anyone managing diabetes. We've got your back. That's right. Walgreens pharmacists are here to consult with you in person and answer any questions you may have about new and existing medications. You can even get free advice from our trusted experts day and night at walgreens.com or the mobile app. Walgreens has all major brands of diabetes testing supplies like Accucheck and Walgreens TrueMetrics. That's not just good news, it's great news. Stop by and talk to your Walgreens pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
Cole Kublik here to tell you about my friends at
Valley Equipment Rental. You can check them out online at valleyequipmentrents.com. And with landscaping season just around the corner, if you're looking for an excavator, backhoe, trencher, skid steer, or more, check out Valley Equipment Rental, located right there on South Memorial Parkway, right there near Airport Road. All the equipment's online at valleyequipmentrents.com, or give Ross and Tanner a call today at 256-964-6081. That's 256-964-6081 for Valley Equipment Rental.
Hey gang, Tom Abraham here for Woody Anderson Ford. Have you noticed the weather lately? Spring is definitely in the air, and you know what that has me thinking about? Getting my vehicle serviced at Woody Anderson Ford. Now, Woody Anderson Ford at Jordan and Sparkman Lanes has incredible new service lanes. So clean, it's like pulling into a NASCAR garage. Plus, the service team is first rate. They're knowledgeable and courteous. So if you go in there and say, it's kind of making a whirring sound when I turn the wheel, or it clunks at the stoplight, well, they got you covered. So get your spring service now at Woody Anderson Ford.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Huntsville and Florence? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Huntsville and Florence area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Huntsville and Florence are perfect markets for my system, and this week I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-300-2330. Seating is extremely limited. Call right now, because this free ticket offer expires this Friday. That's 1-800-300-2330. That's 1-800-300-2330.
A new state-of-the-art indoor shooting range is coming to Huntsville. Bullet and Barrel.
Offering 19 indoor climate-controlled lanes and a fully stocked store with firearms, accessories, and clothing.
Bullet and Barrel provides professional-friendly firearms training. Great for new and experienced shooters. Become a member now at a special pre-grand opening rate. Bullet and Barrel. On Lehman Ferry Road near the corner of Airport Road.
And online at bulletandbarrel.com.
Bullet and Barrel. Serious fun.
Men, are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it. To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it. We guarantee your partner will also notice the difference. Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take Red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility On Demand. You only need to take Red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call 800-890-6013. 800-890-6013. Be one of thousands to proudly say, I take Red. 800-890-6013.
Monster Jam. There's only one event with high-octane energy, heart-pounding action, and non-stop excitement. See Gravedigger, Scooby-Doo, and more. Presented by official partners, America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses, and BKT Tires. Tickets start at $15. Restrictions and charges may apply. Coming to Von Braun Center, April 20th through 22nd. You have to see it live, so bring the whole family.
Weather is sponsored by Firestone Complete Auto Care. Firestone Complete Auto Care, keeping cars running newer, longer. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
The sky becoming mostly cloudy tonight, the low at 50. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. We could see a few showers during the day. Showers a bit more likely tomorrow night, the daytime high at 70. Then for Sunday, mostly cloudy with only a small chance of a shower, the high 68. Monday, rain at times, the high 55. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Wipe your paws. It's time to enter the doghouse.
Way back yonder up in the hills of Tennessee. You know that the corn won't grow at all on Rocky Top. The dirt is too dirty and rocky by far. That's why all the white folks on Rocky Top drank their malt liquor from a jar. Men's is all ignorant. sitting up there on Rocky Top. Ain't one of them got near a lick of sense. Oh, Rocky Top.
Our last segment of today's show. We've got basketball coming up. Of course, you got Nova and West Virginia, and followed by Purdue and Texas Tech in the East. And in the Midwest, it'll be Clemson and Kansas, followed by Duke and the Cuse. So if you want to get in and predict the Final Four, you can do that right now. With lines are open at 866-485-9867. Also, give me a car for the race, and we'll get you into today's Friday trifecta, and you can jump in on that deal. And, you know, this whole NCAA tournament deal, I'm going to go back to what I said earlier in case you missed it. It's charming. It's great to see Loyola Chicago and the Cues and these 11 seeds and these 9 seeds. But just think about it for a second. T-Mac, stop me when I'm lying, okay? An 11 seed would be considered like a 40th best team in the country, somewhere between 40 and 50th best team in the country, right? I mean, does that make sense? A 9 seed would be like a 35, 36, 37th best team in the country. Do we really want those people competing for a championship, the entire championship of the season? And it's why I think that football gets it right by keeping it small. Now, I think it's too small. I think 4 is too few. I think you have to have – I think if you win a major conference, if you win the Pac-12, if you win the Big Ten, you should be in the thing. You know what I mean? You should be that should qualify you for a playoff. So I think that part is important. I'm not saying we should have a 64-team tournament, but even a 16-team tournament like that. How many teams go to the 1AA in Division II and Division III tournaments? 24, right? They've got 6 teams that or 8 teams or whatever it is. They have first round byes, and then they play down. You know, something like that, a 16-team deal or something, is just too many. That's too many. I think 8 is the sweet spot. But, you know, you look at this, and you know, we love these tournaments. But is this really the best way to determine a champion, a national champion? And we don't even talk about who was the best during the season. We do for the conference. You know, we're sitting there, we'll say, hey, Tennessee and Auburn tied for the SEC championship. Oh, yeah, Kentucky won the tournament. Well, we don't sit here and say, hey, Villanova's the regular season champion. We don't say that. It's all about this tournament, just like it's all about the NFL playoffs and other playoffs. The most, you know, baseball used to have this distinction as having the most exclusive playoff. That it was just such a small group of teams went to the playoffs. And in the pro sport realm, they still do have that. But the most exclusive playoff in all of sports is the college football playoff. Now you can say, well, dog, there's only 15 teams that can win it anyway, if that. Well, maybe. But there are really, you know, theoretically, at least if we want to go ahead and say party of 5 teams don't have a shot, okay, fine. But you still got 65 teams when you look at the Power 5 conferences in Notre Dame, and 4 get in. 6 probably the right number, but 4 get in. And that's why, you know, Euros, they think we're nuts. You know what I mean? They're like, well, what do you guys got all with playoffs? My son-in-law, all the time to me, is telling me, like, it doesn't make any sense to have playoffs. What's the sense of playing the whole season? He loves the Premiership. Manchester United fan. I said, well, I'll tell you what the sense is. Look at that thing over there. Who is it? Is it Man City? Somebody ran away with it this year. Not Man City. Somebody ran away with it this year. I don't even know. But somebody just ran away with that thing. I said, well, what are you guys playing for? What's the point? If there's no playoffs, what's the point of even playing? Because you get to the last 3 months of the season or 2 months of the season, there's no race.
Yeah, do we have any goals this season? Absolutely. We're going to win a lot of games. We're going to get in the playoffs.
No playoffs.
There's no playoffs. Again, my job has got a lot easier. Ties and no playoffs. Why do you even do this?
Why? Why even do it?
You know, I heard if they tried to end a game in a tie over here, that's like, you know, in the Book of Revelations as like the cause for the apocalypse, something like that.
It's a sign of the apocalypse or something. I mean, you know, so, but there's got to be a sweet spot somewhere between the two, right, T-Mac? I mean, we love the fact that we get this, these Cinderella stories, but, you know.
I think it's a great format for basketball. Maybe I could go for a few less teams. Maybe not 68.
64 would be the right number.
64 is kind of pushing it. But I like it mainly because it's just the way basketball, the game of basketball is, even more so than football. I know we see it sometimes in football with the Giants. You know, you get in the playoffs, you can get hot and win it. But in basketball, it's even more of that. I mean, there are a bunch of guys that can get hotter than other really good teams. It doesn't mean that it necessarily was a fluke. I mean, the other team may be more talented, but they still put themselves in a position to win. I mean, what we saw this year in basketball in this tournament, we haven't seen it in a long time, but we've seen things like it before. We haven't seen the 16 seed thing, and we haven't seen, you know, all four top seeds in one
but
region.
Really and truly, do you really watch much regular season college basketball?
No,
I know
I don't.
You don't. You're more of an NBA guy, but really, this is the whole college basketball season is March.
Right.
I
mean, it's the regular season.
Yeah. I mean, it's a meaningless regular season. I mean, if 8-9 teams out of a 14-team conference go to the tournament, I mean, really, what are we doing? So, let me go to the lines, get these last couple of calls in here. Tomboy Dot is looking for – she's looking for a new driver, man. I mean, her 40 – her Jimmy Johnson, forget about it. That sees that guy – That deal is ended right there. Tomboy Dot, welcome to the show. How are you?
All right. I'll disagree with that, though.
He's done. He's done.
No, he's out to win. He's got things to do. You know, what I don't like is I've heard – did you hear Lowe's is leaving him after this
Lowe's
year?
Is gone. Lowe's is out. They got to have a new sponsor. They got no Lowe's.
Well, he can get someone else. I'm just saying. I just think it's kind of sorry. And I called the company, complained. I said, "Look, that's kind of bad. You know, you want to, you know, get news out there that you don't want to back him before he gets a win, or you know, near to the close of the end of the year." I said, "That's kind of sorry."
Well, they're gonna go through.
Don't make me want to shop Lowe's.
Yeah, they're gonna go through all of this year, but I mean, they're out, you know, for starting next year. All right, the music is playing. Dot, can you give me your teams quick if you want to get in on this thing? I know you want to go to Talladega.
I'll text it in later. How much time I have to do that?
All right. Appreciate you, Dot. Tomboy Dot. All right, basketball is coming up next. Garrett, love you, man. All right, I didn't get to you quicker. Text your picks in, too. You got an hour to text your picks in. Because after these next round of games start, it's not fair. So pick amongst the 12 teams that are left. All right, on Monday, we'll have a nice little reaction Monday show. We'll have a Final Four to talk about. Till then, for Antonio Macbeth, I am your host, Tom Abraham. And this has been the Tom Abraham Show on 730-1039 Deal.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039, The Ump.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Everwood Treatment Company, the official treated lumber of Alabama athletics. Everwood, wood treated right. Hello, everybody. I'm Chris Stewart. Senior Mio Knight scored the game-winning layup with 5.5 seconds to go to propel Alabama's women's basketball team past Georgia Tech 61-59 in the quarterfinals of the WNIT at Coleman Coliseum. With the victory, the Tide advances to the Elite Eight of the WNIT. Bama will take on Virginia Tech Sunday at 1 o'clock in Blacksburg. Senior Ashley Williams led the way with 15 points and 4 rebounds. Sophomore Jordan Lewis chipped in 11. Knight would end the game with 6 points and 5 rebounds in the win. The Alabama football team wrapped up day 2 of spring practice on Thursday afternoon. That workout was the second of 15 spring practice sessions that will include 2 closed scrimmages and the annual Golden Flake 8A game on April 21st at 1 o'clock. I'll have more in a moment.
There's no mistaking the signature crimson and white of Alabama football. From flags flying to the clothes we wear, our colors define our loyalty, our support, and who is in the house. And there's no mistaking when AFS foundation and waterproofing specialists are in your house. AFS techs arrive in signature-wrapped trucks and proudly wear the AFS insignia, symbolizing our support to tackle foundation, crawl space, or waterproofing issues. For a free estimate, go to AFSRepair.com.
Bama softball opens up a three-game conference series tonight in Tuscaloosa at Rhodes Stadium. Bama playing host to Ole Miss. First pitch set for 6:30, Saturday at 2, and Sunday at 1:30. Meanwhile, baseball is in Knoxville taking on Tennessee. Their series opens tonight at 5:30. We'll have the call for you on the Crimson Tide Sports Network.
First at Discover, we believe anniversaries should be a time of celebration, not obligation. That's why we think annual fees are ridiculous. And now, just for giving us a try, we're going to give new card members a one-year anniversary gift they'll never forget. At the end of your first year, we'll match all the cash back you've earned dollar for dollar. No caps and no catches, because we know if you try us, you'll like us. And that's worth every penny. Try it and believe it at discover.com/match. Cashback match offer only for new card members. Limitations apply.
Nobody knows paint quite like the pro. And nobody appreciates pro painters quite like the Home Depot. During Pro Appreciation Week, March 19th through 25th, Pro Extra members get special discounts on top pro brands, like 25% off all Behr Pro paint. Nobody beats our prices, guaranteed. And that's especially true for pros. Pro Appreciation Week, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Available in-store while supplies last. Must enter Pro Extra phone number at checkout to receive discount.
Hey gang, Tom Abraham here for Woody Anderson Ford. Have you noticed the weather lately? Spring is definitely in the air, and you know what that has me thinking about? Getting my vehicle serviced at Woody Anderson Ford. Now, Woody Anderson Ford at Jordan and Sparkman Lanes has incredible new service lanes. So clean, it's like pulling into a NASCAR garage. Plus, the service team is first rate. They're knowledgeable and courteous. So if you go in there and say, it's kind of making a whirring sound when I turn the wheel, or it clunks at the stoplight, well, they got you covered. So get your spring service now at Woody Anderson Ford.
Reminiscing with Amazon Music.
Remember Coach's halftime speech back in junior high?
That song he played probably won us the game.
What was it again?
Alexa, play the song that goes, burning with determination.
Rediscover the songs that defined a moment in time. Amazon Music, the simplest way to listen to the music you love. New customers start your 30-day free trial at AmazonMusic.com. Renews automatically, cancel anytime.
A new state-of-the-art indoor shooting range is coming to Huntsville. Bullet and Barrel.
Offering 19 indoor climate-controlled lanes and a fully stocked store with firearms, accessories, and clothing.
Bullet and Barrel provides professional-friendly firearms training. Great for new and experienced shooters. Become a member now at a special pre-grand opening rate. Bullet and Barrel on Lehman Ferry Road near the corner of Airport Road.
And online at bulletandbarrel.com.
Bullet and Barrel. Serious fun.
Cole Kublik here to tell you about my friends at Valley Equipment Rental. You can check them out online at valleyequipmentrents.com. And with landscaping season just around the corner, if you're looking for an excavator, backhoe, trencher, skid steer, or more, check out Valley Equipment Rental, located right there on South Memorial Parkway, right there near Airport Road. All the equipment's online at valleyequipmentrents.com. Or give Ross and Tanner a call today at 256-964-6081. That's 256-964-6081.
We interrupt your program to bring you this special presentation of live play-by-play action on the Ump. Coverage of NCAA basketball starts now.